Hello, welcome back to another episode of Seeking Scale. Andy, how's it going?
Not bad. Right before we started recording, I said, oh yeah, it's snowing outside. And we had a ton of snow. It's all like melted last week. I was like, oh, it doesn't look like it's going to accumulate. And it's coming down pretty good. So I don't know, all bets are off at this point. But other than that, don't have a ton to complain about. So that's good as well. How are things on your end?
Yeah, things are good. It will be over by the time this episode goes live, but we're hosting the Enterprise Podcast Summit on Thursday, so like tomorrow, which is cool. It's a pretty big event that we're putting on with Squadcast, which is where we're recording this, and Descript and Content Allies, which is a like really premium like B2B production service. So it'll be cool. So it's like a half day virtual summit, just a handful of kind of presentations. It'll be cool. Just talking about how companies can use podcasting either internally or externally. So that's cool. Sam from our team has put the whole thing together. So it's really cool to see that come to fruition and him put something like that. So it's cool. It'll be interesting to see like what the kind of business impact in the, you know, short to medium term is of it. That's a big thing for us this week is
how are people finding out about it?
We've been promoting it like internally, like social media and email. We are you know, Descript and Squadcast and all of our partners are doing the same. Yeah. And you know, we have hundreds of people signed up, which is pretty cool. Like for us, you know, for us and kind of the niche, I think it's pretty good. We ran some ads in like an industry newsletter.
And so Sam just took the lead with this and then reached out to the other potential partners and it's kind of gone from there.
Yeah. Yeah, it's cool. We've worked with both of them, Descript and Squadcast, on some other stuff in the past, like integrations. And so, yeah, they're friends. So it was, you know, pretty straightforward, I think.
Do you do any affiliate stuff or co-promotion with them or with anybody?
We do with Squadcast. We do. We've done a lot of co-promotion with Descript on like our integration with them, but we don't do any affiliate stuff with them.
With Squadcast, did you say you do some?
Yeah, we do some affiliate stuff. Like just on the blog. Yeah.
Have you gotten much traction there?
No.
Yeah. It's something that we've experimented with. And honestly, I haven't had any of the affiliate stuff work out. We promote one other site as an affiliate and it's literally autopilot. It's a downsell in our signup process where if they create their account but don't start a trial, we'll then try to get them back in. If they don't, we'll then pitch this as a way to get like a free month. It probably makes like $1,000 a month, but enough to be interesting, but not enough to be like, oh, let's figure out how to double down on this. Cause it's just like, okay, I don't really see how to scale this significantly, but getting people to promote us as affiliates just hasn't moved the needle. And honestly, like takes a shit ton of my time whenever someone reaches out about it, because it's when someone is just clearly very early and like doesn't really have a site or doesn't have much of an audience, it's much easier to be like, ah, like we don't really offer this, so sorry, but feel free to reach back out. But it's like even those ones where it seems like this could work, it's just really hard to get it to work. And I know it takes a lot of effort. And we felt it on the partnerships that we do where they're basically a bit more than affiliates for us, where our app is embedded in their site and there's a revenue share. And those work to varying degrees. But it's just like the ones that work well take a lot of our effort too. And yeah, that's where it's something that it's the same with anything. It's just like these things take real effort. You're never just like throw up an ad and have it just print money. You're never going to, with an integration partner, just build the integration and have it just like drive all this traffic. It's like any of these things, if you like take sustained effort to really move the needle.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I totally agree. I totally agree. Like I've talked about it on here. Like we have a pretty solid process for like building integrations at this point and like identify the partner, reach out, agree on the co-marketing strategy. We have a whole like pitch deck. We send them, we run the playbook, we do our part. We hope that they do their part. And even then, like sometimes you do it and we spend months on this thing and like it is like crickets afterwards. And I mean, that's specific to integrations. I think affiliates, we do okay. I think some other people in our space do a lot better with affiliates, just from what I've heard. And I don't know why. Like, I don't know why that is. Like, it doesn't hurt my feelings, because like the way SaaS affiliates are right now, you're losing 20 to 30% of your profit on all those customers. So like it becomes an expensive customer pretty quick. You know, like I don't want to spend that money if I don't have to, or if I get customers another way specific to affiliates.
Do you know if any of the other podcast hosts have actual affiliate managers?
I don't know. Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, because that's one of the things that we're trying to figure out right now with the partners is how do we, because a lot of the, it's not failures of partners, and we have one that's been very successful and we work very closely with them and they work very closely with us. Like it goes both ways is the biggest thing we found for sure is finding someone who's bought in and willing to put in the effort to make it work on their end. But even then it's just, it takes a good amount of work and it's like, all right, the doubling down on what works, how do we double down on this? Like, do we hire someone just to manage this relationship? What does that look like? And honestly, I have shifted just more of Jordan's, who's does all of our video content, his resources towards working with all of our partners. But I could see a spot where it makes sense to just have like a partner manager, because what we've noticed is there are playbooks like, okay, like when should we do a stream with both of our sites? How do we want to promote it? What do we think about different special limited time offers? Those kind of things. Like we see what works in one area and then want to roll it out to the others. But there's like all the work around coordinating that and producing it. And it's not easy to do on the side of all these other responsibilities. But it's like, to me, that's what I think is a missing piece for a lot of affiliate work, partnership, biz dev, like all that stuff is having someone who their job is nurturing those, not just the relationship, but the actual figuring out, okay, like here's what we're going to do, here's how we're going to do it, and then making sure it gets done.
Yeah. I would call it business development because to me, it's like partnerships and affiliates and integration partners and, you know, even acquisition, you know, opportunities, like all those would fall under that category to me is like, go find where we can get inorganic growth. Yeah, I think there's a lot to that. It certainly is like worthy of being a whole person at a certain scale. I don't think we're there yet, but
it's also one of those like chicken and the egg things too, where it's hard to get there without putting in the effort as though, so like not necessarily putting in the effort as though you're not, but it's as having someone really own it and be like, all right, let's make a big push into this.
Yeah, and I mean like that the chicken and the egg thing, like we hired two salespeople, it's been 6 months, and like we didn't have a strong need for sales then, but they are selling the shit out of our stuff now. And so like, I think like it's given me more conviction to say like, if you put a specialized focused person in a role, especially like a revenue generating role, they become cash flow positive really quick. And I think that applies to most things, even something like content marketing. You know, I think we could hire like a full-time inbound marketing person and they would earn their weight like pretty quick, I think. Even though it's like on a scale of 1 to 10, like I think we've refined it to like a 7 probably, you know, like we've gotten quite a bit out of it. But I think that person could come in and just do a lot. I think a business development person probably could do. It's just like identify these opportunities and really just go deep on them because like, and I think we'll talk about this today. Like we don't have the time to go deep on anything. It's just like not drowning. That's all I have time to focus on.
Yeah. And especially with, I don't know, I don't love when people talk about how saturated different channels are, because in my opinion, it's like content marketing. Is there a shit ton of content out there? Yes. But most of it's not that great. And so I honestly feel like when people talk about channels being saturated, they're usually saying, I can't just go through the motions and get results anymore. And it's just like, yeah, you can't. Like, there's no, like, I don't know. I'm never someone who's like at the leading edge of anything. So like, I'm not going to be in TikTok when it's super easy to build an audience and this and that, or I wasn't super early in Facebook ads, any of those things. And I get the frustrations there, but at the same time, it's just, yeah, you're going to have to put in the effort. And this is where like, it gets tough for me, and I know you feel it too, it's that we only have so much bandwidth, so it's hard to find the thing or a few things to actually be able to put that effort into, because you're placing bets on where do we focus, knowing that it means these other areas you're not going to be able to. And so do you just not do it or what? But just the paring down of initiatives and things like that, I think allows you to go as deep as you need to go to get results, but knowing what to focus on.
Are you trying to get me to talk about OKRs? Because like when you say that, that's what I think is fucking OKRs. And I mean, because it is a really great tool. And like your rocks are the same way, right? It's like when you're honest with yourself and your team can be honest with you, and you say, hey, we should go get a business development person. They say like, okay, how does this serve our rocks or OKR? And lets you all say no to a bunch of stuff that isn't like the most important thing, you know?
Yeah, I honestly hadn't thought about it from that perspective. I'm almost thinking about like in the setting of the OKRs or in the setting of the rocks, where it's saying, here's where we want to go. How do we pick the things to invest in to get us there? Because once they're picked, it gets a lot easier to just say no to other things. But I feel like it's the picking that's difficult. And I often feel like we can carry a lot of baggage of things that we've been doing for a while, where we just assume we've got to keep doing those. So it's like, all right, we need to do marketing. Well, we've been doing this. We're going to keep doing that. And then we're going to try this one other new thing. And it's like, well, what if we like stop doing that? Then we can put more resources into this new thing or testing this or whatever else. I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, that's a whole big topic, I think, of like how much analytical data goes like into that decision and how much of it is a gut feel of like, you know, product or marketing or messaging or whatever operations, you know, how much data do you want and need to make those decisions? How much of it is just how you feel, you know, subjectively about things? I don't know.
And it's funny for me where it's like our company is insanely analytical when it comes to our core product and what we're like, how we build our models and how we gamble, how we do like everything we do, but we don't really have analytics for the app, which is at this point definitely a flaw, like a leak in the bucket. But I think it's easy to get caught up in minutia that analytics can give you when there's just bigger problems that you can figure out. And I don't know, it's a lot of what we were hoping to talk about in my head is chilling out of just like not trying to do everything. And because, yeah, you and I are both impatient, and we see what we're trying to build and we just want to get there. And when normal day-to-day things get in the way or whatever it may happen, it's just super frustrating and it can wear on you. And then it's just really hard to get through that when it's like, oh, we just got to like do X, Y, and Z. But then other opportunities come up and like, ooh, like, well, maybe this is going to be a better road. And it's just for me where I can get feeling overwhelmed is when I don't do a good job of actually saying no to things. Whereas I think from a manager perspective, I'm much better with it when working on the product or with Ben on the back end, with Matt on the front end. You're just like, all right, like, yeah, this doesn't, especially now that we've been working with quarterly goals. It's like, yeah, this doesn't fit in what we're trying to do now. Like, let's add it to the list, but we shouldn't shift everything around for it. But when I'm getting all these inquiries or different things from potential partners and other stuff, it's just way easier for me to be like, sure, I'll take the call, or yes, I'll explore that. And then I'm getting pulled in a ton of directions, don't want to say no to things because I'm like, God, like this could be something. And then like my own backlog starts filling up of other things I should be doing. And then I'm just like, shit, like I can't make progress on this. I got this call I got to deal with. I'm like, oh, I got to figure out what to do with that. And I don't know. There's not really like a point to what I'm saying, more just like describing the situation I found myself in is just, yeah, the saying yes to too many things and doing it because I just want to move faster without realizing that one, it's not good for mental health, but two, I don't actually think it's not effective at like getting us there faster.
I agree with all that. I think that like, we lie to ourselves a lot about like, if I put in this work, then growth will happen or the product will be better or this marketing campaign will work. Where like in reality, like I think just time is the best thing for growth and for like company maturity and everything is like time and taking the time to do things right, I think is like the best or like the biggest lever, like maybe we can pull. And like, it's not a lever you can pull because it's like unchanging, you know, not to be too philosophical, but like just working harder often I think has like detrimental results. And I say that, like, I don't work 50 hours a week for sure. Like I work 40 something hours a week and like I feel really good about that. And I think that like we both want to work hard because we want like the company to do really well and probably we want to have like a big outcome in the future. And I think that like if we're honest with ourselves, like the value of our company is partly in the revenue, but it is, there's some big part of like the operations and the morale and the team and the robustness of the company that's not tied to revenue. And I think that like, those are things that don't take, that don't have like the time pressure a lot, but like maybe should, like we should say like, hey, this is as important as growing the revenue of the company. It's just like making this a long-term sustainable place to work for all of us.
I agree. And I think, I mean, that was why one of our, I don't think this is an EOS thing. Like, that's why, again, why I don't even pretend that we're doing EOS anymore. But like, we have our annual goals are much more subjective. And then quarterly, we try to bring them down into like, okay, like literally, what are we at? Like, what are the actual things we have to get done this quarter? And one of the annual goals is run like a well-oiled machine. And I don't think that's ever something you're completely done with. But we're very clearly not at this spot right now. We're better than we were when we started this year, but we're not there. And setting that as a goal gave me permission to be like, okay, like this is a goal. I can now work towards achieving this. Whereas if the goal is just purely growth, anything that's not leading to that is, it seems like it feels like a distraction, even subconsciously. So that's been helpful for sure. For us, it's like when I sit down and plan and sort of have the silence to just like think about the big picture. I agree with that. But part of my personal context is everything I've been like, especially with poker, is there were always booms and busts, and the busts were usually pretty horrible. Whether it was when the US passed the UIGEA Act, which said that banks couldn't only process internet gambling transactions, and then the vast majority of the sites pulled out of the market. And that was like really bad for a bit. And then things rebounded, but never were quite the same. And then 2015, I believe it was, is the DOJ seized the domain, like the domains, but like literally like shut down the sites of the three biggest poker operators overnight with no warning. And one, like that's why I like being in a regulated market now, because there's less concern for that. But it definitely baked in some feelings of the this could just disappear, because things have, like six-figure revenue sources have disappeared to me overnight before. And we already are in like a pretty seasonal thing where it's like you get NBA season starting, MLB season starting, NFL season starting. And those are guaranteed massive traffic boosts. You're going to get a ton of signups. And so you need your shit together to capitalize on that. And so even when I'm like, all right, like let's take a step back, focus on the processes, the systems. As soon as you approach one of those deadlines, they go, shit, like, do you have everything in place for this? Are you ready for that?
And all that's out the window.
And I mean, right now, baseball is not starting on time. They're currently locked out. The league has already canceled, I think, the first week, maybe more. And yeah, so it's just like, it's just the battle for me of got to think long term, but at the same time, there are like clear short term things that just can break me out of that mindset.
Yeah, I think those long term goals are important. And like I went back and looked at some of my like 3-year goals a couple days ago that are about 3 years old, and we've killed them, you know? And that was really cool to see. I think that like there's real value. And this is where I am these days, is like we took funding. I know you did too. And that changes your time perspective a lot, you know? Like, I'm not saying that in a bad way, Rob, if you're listening, or anyone else. Like, I think it's been a really positive thing, because it's had this sense of urgency for me that has been mostly positive, because like the business is absent of the funding, or like separate from the funding, the business is in a much better position because I care so much, you know, about its success. I think you need that at first a lot, you know, and then you need to get to a pretty cool like stasis moment where you're a well-oiled machine, you're working, you know, hard but calm, and making like good long-term decisions. Because now, like, one of the things that has changed for you and for me, I think, is like there's a lot more downside risk than upside. Well, there's a lot more downside risk than there used to be. And so, like,
well, you have something to lose.
Right.
And other the people on your team do as well.
Yeah, like protecting that is like a very real part of what we do now, you know, like security and team and morale and finances and all that kind of stuff. Like before, we didn't have any customers. And so if we failed, like, it didn't matter. Now, like, there's a lot of good reason to care about that. So like that's just something that I think about, like, giving yourself that grace. Like, I give myself the grace to say, like, playing a little defense and like the preventative measures is like a really appropriate thing to do.
For me, it's still the gambler in me, which, again, I say that sort of tongue in cheek, because I view these as bets, but they're not gambles in the sense of just purely lighting money on fire. They're calculated, but it's like, I still want to push the edge. I still want to be aggressive and not necessarily be defensive, but then you have to balance it. And I think this was one of the first times where I really had to be a bit more defensive as the team has grown, and thinking about, like, I don't want to lose anyone on the team, or we're not in a position where even if baseball doesn't happen this year, we're fine. But it's like, yeah, we had to pause hiring, which is frustrating, but it's, again, protecting everyone on the team now. It's like one of the first more defensive moves I've made. And then on the personal level, what's at least helped is I still am not good at saying no to things. And I feel like this week, less people have just been bugging me about shit, and not even on the team, just like externally. And so that's been probably contributed to it, but it's just more been like, all right, like, I'm just going to write this month off and just finally get through the actual backlog of all the admin stuff that I've been bitching about, where it's like the books still need work, but they're cleaned up in a place where, like, and I have an accountant in place where, like, I know what questions I still have. I can give them to them. We're fine. Like, that to me is no longer an open question. It's something I need to do, but not a big deal. There were issues with Main Street, trying to figure out how to rectify that. I've got the answers to that, moving forward there. And it's like, all right, like, now what's the next thing on my list? Oh yeah, these partners that I have invoiced in 6 months, like, I should probably do that. And then it's just like digging through that and getting it done. And it's not that I wouldn't try to do it before, but it's like, there's a reason these things stay on the backlog forever, is that there's some things you haven't figured out. You're not quite clear on exactly what to do. And so whenever you pick it up, you'll work on it for an hour and like, oh shit, like, this is why, like, I keep forgetting it, or I keep not wanting you to do it. Or maybe you'll get one step further, but you just hit a dead end, and then a call comes up and you don't get back to it. And then, like, when that cycle just goes on for months, that's when it all piles up. And so I'm just like, I'm just going to, like, plow through this and just do nothing else other than try to dissect Excel spreadsheets for a day. And so to me, when you talked originally about, before we start recording, just the idea of, like, chilling out, it's really me just taking permission. It's like, all right, like, I can't, when I have all these loose ends hanging around, I just can't relax. And so the last couple of weeks, I've just been more deliberate about, all right, like, nothing new on my plate. I'm just going to plow through these things. And I feel like it's helped. It's like every one of those major things that is now checked off, I just feel like I can breathe a little bit easier. And it's like, all right, like, I don't need to worry about that anymore.
Yeah. Yeah. So two things with regards to that. One, like, running a larger business is harder than a small business. I think just like the amount of stuff you have to do is bigger, and considerations you have. So, like, I think that's one thing that I didn't realize before, is just like the amount of admin and stuff is just more. I think the other is, like, we as founders are putting ourselves last a lot. Like, it's even a fucking book, right? Simon Sinek is like, leaders eat last or whatever. And like, I think that's really harmful, you know, because if you continue to do that, like, you're just shitting on yourself, like, over and over and over. And then, like,
it's not helping the business either.
Yeah, it's not helping the business. It's not helping you feel good about the business. It's not helping you be in a good place when you need to come and do these super productive, like, high level things that only you can do. Like, if you're not in a place where you're jazzed to show up and do this thing every day, like, what are you doing? like running a business? And, like, I know that. I don't do a great job of it, but I'm convincing myself, like, honestly convincing myself more and more that it's important enough to where, like, I need to do things like with my schedule and guard my time and probably hire like an executive assistant or an office manager or something like that to take some of these things that like I can do, like I can run payroll and calculate sales commissions and stuff like that. But like, I don't want to, you know, and like, it's not wrong to say like, well, there's $5,000 a month for someone to take care of this stuff just because I don't want to. And before, like I would have said, that's selfish and like, that's irresponsible. And now I'm saying that's right. Because if I do that, then I can go do other stuff. Even if other stuff is just feeling good about coming to work, you know, like that's worth a lot.
Yeah. And I think without dragging on too much, it's like, there's some lessons you can learn and everyone's different about this, but some lessons you can learn by reading a book, by hearing people talk about it, and others you have to learn while like by experiencing the pain of getting it wrong. And for me, a lot of it around delegation is needing to feel that pain because again, it's just like in the moment of it, it's always going to be easier to do it yourself. And when you feel like you're getting pulled in 1,000 different directions, you don't want to be like, oh, well, let me take a step back and see how right. we can hand this out. And honestly, where I got caught up for a while was like, I have done a much better job of delegating. And right now I'm not in a great spot because frankly, a lot of the lower value tasks like are falling to me. And it's because either the team doesn't have bandwidth for it, or I see higher value things for them to work on. And so then it's like, all right, like what I had been doing for a bit was like, let me wait for them to get a break and then they can do this. And it just, no, like these things just need to get fucking done. I'm going to go and do them so that I have the bandwidth to finally like get started on hiring the EA that I've talked about for a very long time. And like, that's just kind of what I realized. I'm like, I can't do it right now when like taxes are due soon, when all these other things actually have an end date that I can't put off any longer. So rather than just worry about, is this the best use of my time? Just know, like, get these things done, then find someone who is like, their job is for me to delegate to them. Because I think the rest of our team has done a good job of figuring out where they're best situated. And I'm just trying not to like pull them off too much, but yeah, it's still not good. But it's always leveling up in different ways. It's always finding where the bottlenecks are. And yeah, I think as a leader can feel really shitty when you know you're the bottleneck, but there's just like not much you can do. And so that's why, yeah, just trying to limit what's coming in, clear out what's already there, and then find someone to give me some more bandwidth. But easier said than done. But I, again, having felt this pain for long enough, I do feel like it's like, all right, let's get this fixed.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Bit of a wandering episode, I'll be honest, but I think it's on our minds and we always want to kind of share where we are. So I hope this is interesting and helpful for folks. As always, if y'all have anything you want to hear Andy and I talk more or less about, shoot us a message, podcast@seekingscale.com.
Thanks, everybody.